We spend a lot of time talking about how to have good conversations, how to get into good conversations, but today let's focus on how to end conversations well. Stay tuned. Hi, folks. Welcome back to the Pro-Life Guys podcast, a show dedicated to equipping you with the tools that you need to have compassionate and compelling conversations about abortion so that together we can change minds, save lives, and transform our culture. My name is Cam. I am the host of the show. Welcome back. For all those who have been previous listeners, maybe long time, maybe short time listeners, welcome to anybody who may be a new listener to the program. I want to start by painting a bit of a picture. You get a bit of a sneak peek from that intro clip. I want to paint a picture. We were out doing one of our Choice Chain displays this past Saturday, time of recording. Choice Chain is one of our interactive displays where volunteers who have gone through our training and have signed our volunteer agreement form will hold a 3-foot by 4-foot sign showing either the reality of what abortion does to the weakest, most vulnerable members of the human family, with a little bit of age information as well as our website, or else one of our pregnant need help signs or a ultrasound image sign. So we're out there, we're inviting people into conversations. And one of our wonderful volunteers here in Calgary, Carolyn, was in a really interesting situation that I wanted to break down on the air, where she was talking to this group of high school guys. I think that they're probably high school, maybe just recently graduated from high school kind of thing. But they look like in that range of 17, 18, 19-year-old guys. And Carolyn is wonderful. Carolyn absolutely dominates when it comes to talking to high school guys. She's got kids who are in that kind of high school, young adult range. She is very good at striking a good balance of pushing them and meeting them where they're at and all that kind of thing. Carolyn's an absolute champ. So she's talking to these guys, and a few of them started out pro-life. A few others became pro-life. And so they were talking about kind of action steps towards the end of their conversation. Carolyn's congratulating them, thanking them for embracing the pro-life worldview, talking about what that looks like in their day-to-day life, talking about their treatment of the women in their lives, that kind of thing. Doing a great job. And then while she was still talking to them, two girls came and started shouting at Carolyn, accusing her of harassment and our team of being bigoted and being awful people and don't we care about victims of sexual assault, this kind of thing. And so not only did Carolyn have the complex that we talked about maybe a month or so ago of dealing with large groups, how do you manage multiple different people who are coming at the abortion conversation in different places, not only worldview-wise, but also trajectory in a conversation, that kind of thing. What made things even more complicated is that these young men who had either started out pro-life or had become pro-life now wanted to try to convince these two young ladies to become pro-life. And it was a noble attempt. Unfortunately, they hadn't received any training to this point. They had listened to Carolyn, obviously, but they were very accusatory. At times, unfortunately, even a little bit derogatory towards these two girls that were very emotionally charged, very hostile towards Carolyn. But obviously, Carolyn, like the rest of our team, has been trained in how to de-escalate those situations, whereas these young men, try as they might, were simply escalating the situation. And it made me think to do an episode on how do we wrap up conversations, because in some ways there are two conversations that needed to be wrapped up at different intervals kind of thing. That what Carolyn ended up doing was wrapping up the conversation with the two with the small group. I think there was probably five, maybe six young men who were in the original group, and then investing 10, 15 minutes into talking with the two young ladies, and then wrapping up that conversation because our Choice Chain time had ended. And so first question is, why are we wrapping up conversations at all? Why don't we just have gigantically long conversations? I share often with our interns and some of our newer staff about how back in the olden days, when I had fewer gray hairs, in some ways, I feel like we used to pride ourselves on how long our conversations could be, especially when we would go down to our Florida abortion awareness projects. We would come back to the display and be like, hey, I talked to that guy for 2.5 hours. I went through literally everything with them. We were pulling up this and we were searching good arguments and all this kind of thing. And it felt a little bit like we were doing it for our own sake, or at least for myself. I caught myself on a number of occasions being like, okay, well, I'm doing these apologetics to demonstrate my academic prowess or my intellectual competency or whatever it may be. And that's not what this is about. This is about effectiveness. This is about how effectively, not just how efficiently, but efficiency has to be a factor in our kind of equation, I suppose. How effectively can I engage the Canadian public or wherever you may be? And that means, how do I efficiently win the person or people that I'm speaking with to the pro-life worldview, anchor that and drive them towards action, and then move on to other conversations? That I need to be efficient for the sake of the person in front of me, out of respect for their time, out of respect for my own time, maybe even at times out of respect for the time of my peers, if they've committed to doing activism from noon until one or noon until two or something like that, and I'm having conversations until 2:30 or three, then either they're not benefiting from the debrief if we're waiting on me to debrief and they have to leave before we have the opportunity to debrief, or I'm not benefiting from debrief and learning from others on how I could have managed my conversations better. There are some circumstances, as we'll get into in another episode, when it is worth not being efficient. It is worth investing tremendous time into our conversations, but for the sake of the person in front of you and making sure that they get all the way through the conversation about abortion without having to dash away to catch their bus or get back to work or get back to school or whatever it is that they might have commitments to, for the sake of your own time in making sure that you are crisp and concise and clear in your communication, for the sake of your own team, and ultimately for the sake of preborn children and needing to reach as many people as you possibly can, we need to be effective. And so we need to know how and when to wrap up our conversations. And so how are we going to do it? That's why we're going to do it. How are we going to do it? I think that in many ways, the principles apply to both abortion-minded people and pro-life people. And Carolyn played this out incredibly well. When she was wrapping up the conversation with the group of young fellows, what she did is she asked, you know what, I wanted to the two young girls that had come in a more hostile fashion. She realized that it wasn't going to be productive to have the previous group of fellows who had become pro-life stick around and kind of complicate her conversation with these two newcomers. And so what she did is she kind of got all of the attentions of the young men, and she summarized the scope of the conversation. Hey, you know what? When you guys first got here, a few of you had mentioned really hard circumstances that mothers and fathers are faced with. And so what we did is we talked about how there are these hard circumstances, and yet when parents of born children, two-year-olds and three-year-olds, are faced with hard circumstances, it's never okay to kill innocent born children. And so we talked about the difference between born humans and preborn humans. We talked about how all humans should get human rights. We talked about how from the moment of fertilization, we have a living member of the human family, and how abortion, she referenced down to her sign, which showed a 15-week-old preborn child who'd been killed by abortion. Abortion directly and intentionally kills that child, making it a human rights violation. And we agreed that we can't kill humans to solve problems, and that killing a human being based on how old they are is not an appropriate solution to a challenging pregnancy. We agreed on all that, right? Yeah. She got confirmation from everyone one last time. So she summarized, and then she gave them an action step. And so what I want you guys to do is take these pamphlets, share them with the people in your life that may need them. Check on our website on the back of the pamphlet. I think that she even got one or two of them maybe to sign up on the back of our tracker forms that we have to share their information to get more training on how to be an influence of good by getting some CCPR training and being effective pro-life ambassadors. She thanked them for their time and said, I hope that you have a great rest of your day. Now I'm going to talk with these other two. And so at that point, all of those fellows walked away with a summary of what they had covered, a summary of the pro-life worldview, and an action item to get involved, to share the message of life, to be decent men to the ladies around them, and they headed on their way. And so that's what I would suggest for pro-lifers. Summarize what you have covered and give them an action point. Whether that action point is signing up for a free one-on-one workshop, whether that action point is inviting them to apply to an internship or a crash course for Pro-Life Week of Action, whether that action point is considering them to donate Whether that action point is to take a pamphlet and check on our website. Unfortunately, that doesn't happen a ton. I mean, I don't have the metrics on how often people go to the website. But I know there's very few people who we say, hey, if you're interested in getting involved, take our pamphlet and contact us at the email below. Emma's a gem. She handles our general email at this point. And I know that she and Miranda before her and countless other people who have had responsibility for navigating the general email get very few emails from people saying, hey, I met you guys at activism this past weekend. They gave me a pamphlet and encouraged me to contact you to get involved. Here I am. Point me in the right direction kind of thing. Not very many people do that. And whether that's because they live busy lives, whether that's because they forget, whether that's because they had second thoughts after they walked away, there's a lot of reasons why people don't do it of their own initiative. And so if we can get their contact information, then that's going to be ideal. What did Carolyn do with the other two girls that came and were very hostile? She did a great job of de-escalating the situation, talking through not only her own experience with abortion, but also empathizing when one of them shared with her that she had been a victim of sexual assault. But she could tell from the conversation that these girls were becoming less and less interested in having a productive conversation. What she was seeing, what I was seeing, being part of the display as well, was that one of them would get very emotional, bring up a very emotionally charged topic, while the other one would go on their phone and be scrolling for something on their phone. And then as soon as the other one would lose the wind in their sails, the other one would jump in, whether because of something that they read on their phone or saw on their phone, or whether because there were just an opportunity to dive in and bring up another very emotional thing, sometimes something that Carolyn had addressed already, sometimes something new. And Carolyn was making a lot of headway connecting with them on the horrors that many mothers are faced with, the tragic realities that exist in our world, challenging them to follow along the roadmap that, yes, these tragic situations and scenarios exist. Unfortunately, they exist for parents of born children as well. Would we ever kill a born child to alleviate the suffering or difficult circumstances? If not a born child, why a preborn child? Diving into the humanity of the preborn child through the human rights argument. But she was realizing that they were becoming less and less willing to go through the entirety of the roadmap. She realized that, you know, these girls are, they're realizing that their arguments are losing credibility once we get into the humanity and personhood. She's doing a great job of managing it so that it wasn't direct, it wasn't too personal towards them. But as our choice chain display came to an end, what she did was a very similar thing to what she did with the young men. She summarized the conversation. So we've talked a lot about these really hard circumstances that many women, yourselves included, who shared very vulnerably with me, where mothers feel as though they need abortion because they might not have any other options. We talked about that, but then we talked about how mothers in born circumstances similar to these don't kill their born children. We shouldn't help them kill their born children. And so what we tried to talk about, but it felt like we weren't quite ready to talk about, was the humanity of preborn children. We talked about how all humans should get human rights. We talked even a little bit about how if something is growing, even from one cell to two cells to four cells in a coordinated and organized way, that something has to be alive. And that if that something has human parents, it must be a living human. And we didn't really get to the fact that all humans should get human rights and that we can't kill human beings because of how old they are. And so she summarized where the conversation had gone and where she wanted to go. And then she gave them an action item. I really want to encourage you, ladies, when you head home, to really look into when human life begins, whether you search on your computer, your phone, find a science textbook, find an academic source that is clear when human life begins. I really want to invite you and challenge you to do that. Because referencing down to her sign, that's when there are human lives at stake. If abortion doesn't kill humans, then we're a bunch of jerks. I don't know if she said that, but that's what I say. And if abortion does kill humans, then we have 100,000 precious humans being killed every single year in Canada. And so to end conversations, whether with pro-lifers, whether with abortion advocates, whether you're doing it because your team is about to head back to the office, whether you're doing it because you have another engagement that you have to get to, whether you're simply realizing that you have begun to stall in the conversation, you've made it clear the path of the roadmap, and it's no longer being a productive conversation for the effectiveness, for the sake of their time, for your time, for the time of the team, and for the sake of preborn children and their other mothers and fathers, the other people that you need to reach while doing outreach. Sometimes you need to end conversations. Make sure that you summarize what has been covered, clarify what needs to be covered, if that's relevant, and give them an action item in accordance with that, whether that is an action item to get actively involved in the pro-life movement, or whether that's an action item to research when does human life begin, whether that's to do some soul searching on whether we can kill innocent humans to solve problems, whether that is reflecting on whether it's different and better to kill human beings based on how old they are compared to killing them for any other arbitrary factor. Giving them an action item to walk away with, and thanking them for their time and inviting them to have a good rest of their day. There's going to be some people who don't leave because they want to waste your time. But most people, thankfully, take that cue and they head off on their way. They might end it on their end with a few extra expletives or derogatory statements, but hopefully that action item and that summary will resonate in their mind. I hope that makes sense. Let me know if you have any questions, and may God bless you abundantly wherever you're at, however many hours are left in your day.